behold, this is where I was last night. One came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him what Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, what a story here tonight. So he said last night, a tremendous story. But this last verse here of this story, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. One of the Gospels, I believe, said he bowed his head and walked away sorrowful. The Bible says, as we look into Luke chapter number 16 again tonight, Luke chapter 16, the Lord speaks to us. I know that I cannot say without a shadow of doubt that this is right. Neither can you prove me wrong. But just so happened, the Bible said this rich young ruler run him down. And then now in Luke chapter 16, he tells a story of about a rich man, a certain rich man. And could it be that this is the same young man? He's just grown up. This was in his younger days when he met the Lord, but now he's in his older days. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Can anybody say that torments is plural? Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, even if I wanted to, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, I've created a great gulf fixed between me and you. Then he said, I pray you would pray the Father to send me to my brethren, that I tell them not to come to this horrible place. But the Father said to him, they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father God, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray your holy anointing be upon us. We can do nothing without you, but all things through you. I pray such conviction as been in here each night would only become greater as a swelling tide of the ocean. God, that would hit this tri-state like a tsunami. Oh, God of heaven. Every crack and crevice of every home. Men come running in here that don't even have a clue why they're running in here for repentance. Somewhere down the line, their great, 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 great grandmother never gave up in prayer till she went into eternity. That seed of this inheritance is there. I pray it all in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus. All the church said amen, amen and hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to help the preacher tonight. And then tell them all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. As we get into the Word of God tonight, we begin to preach to you last night from the subject of Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter number 19. As we begin to look at the Word of God, we find a rich young ruler. And he was not just wealthy and a ruler of his time, but we know he had some kind of raisin in the house of God and in the Christian or the religiousness of that time. For he said, I've kept the commandments. None of them have I messed up on. I've been a good boy. He said, but there's something about your teaching, something about your preaching, that when I've heard you, there's something missing in my life. I've got everything that I want. Anything that I ever will need has been placed into my hands. He rode the finest camels of that day. He would have wore the finest clothes of that day. But yet something so deep down in him was missing. He was part of that religious system, but there still was an emptiness, a loneliness, something, a hole in his spirit that could not be satisfied by the money that he had, by the rulership that he had, and by the place that he had been with the church or the religiousness of the day. But he says there's something that you have. Now the Bible says that he ran Jesus down. Now one of the gospels said he ran him down. The other, now this one began to talk. And the Bible said, what must I do to be saved? Now it'd be absolutely amazing if we were to be ran down by people who begin to say, what must I do to be saved? I was in Jamaica preaching, the only time that ever happened. I was on the streets passing out tracts, and all of a sudden we was down there in the major part of the student area, college area, passing out tracts. And when I did, handed one boy a tract and walked on my way, all of a sudden about two blocks down, he ran me down, pulled me around. He said, tell me more about the answer. The tract said, the answer. He said, tell me more about this Jesus that you've given me this track about. And I'm telling you, as this rich young ruler ran Jesus down and began to ask, what must I do? One, the gospel said he fell down and worshiped him. That he began to weep and cry emotionally. He was stirred and moved. He desired with all of his heart. He had felt the love of Christ reach and grab a hold of his soul. That emptiness now has brought him to the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that he's weeping, worshiping him. What must I do? Now I said to you last night, if that had been me, that had been Pastor Tom or you other pastors that are here tonight, we'd have wrapped that boy up. We'd have thought, dear God, on the outside looking at it, he wants God. He desires God. Never has many people ever run me down for the gospel. But this man and this boy's run me down, wanting to know what I'm talking about and begging for what must I do to have eternal life. Jesus looked right at him, right past the tears, right past the worship, right past all the emotionalism that he saw. And he said, keep the commandments. He looked right into his heart and said, keep the commandments. The young boy said, that is, do not commit adultery, fornication, and quoted out the commandments. The boy said, I've kept them from my youth up. What lackest thou? Amen. What is it that I'm lacking? One thing thou lackest, Jesus said. One thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, what was it about this? Amen. This story is a tremendous story. It's a story of heart rendering. Matter of fact, one of the gospels said, and he loved him. The Bible said Jesus, looking on him, loved him. Not only that, the Bible said, he said, and take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say that. Except to the 12 disciples. Then except when he spoke to the other crowd as far as discipleship. But there was something about the fervency of this young man, the emotionalism of this young man, that it moved Christ. And Christ said, take up your cross and come and follow me. It could have been one just following them around, a 13th disciple. Amen. Because he didn't say that to everybody that he met. But the Bible said in the middle of all of this, that after Jesus looked at him and said, "Thou lackest one thing, go and sell all that you have." The young man buried his head and walked away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. He found out at that moment of his life that his love for the Lord, his desire for the Lord, his desire for salvation was not greater than his desire for his wealth and his rulership and his money. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here to help us tonight. You see, Jesus said, "Thou lackest one thing." Amen. Then this boy bows his head and walks away sorrowfully. What that boy didn't know, if he could have just gave it up, he could have had it all. It isn't the fact that Jesus wanted his money, owns a cattle of 1,000 hills, but it was the fact that the love of money in his heart was greater than his love for the Savior and his love for the Master. Having said all of that, I must say this. As we begin to look at our relationship with God, we must ask ourselves, it's all about that relationship. Can you shout amen? Amen. The Bible said, could you be moved? But can you imagine walking away? Amen. He was stirred, but he was not changed. He was convicted, but he was not converted. I'm afraid in a lot of our meetings, there's a lot of people that got convicted, but they never got converted. Are you hearing me? Amen. Yes, ma'am. They got convicted, but they was never converted. I'm telling you, August the 30th, 1989, I'll be a night I'll never forget as long as I live. 21 years later, failures, yes. Mistakes, yes. Sins, yes. But I'm still here tonight because something happened in me that night that changed my life. I lived in the house with drugs and alcohol and set my own clock on Sunday mornings and hunted me a ride to church. Didn't have a youth pastor, didn't have a bus program, didn't even have a teenage Sunday school class. Amen. Let alone pizza suppers and ball games and fun time. But I'm telling you, I'm here tonight as a 35-year-old boy, 21 years later, because I got converted. That night I felt the gospel of Jesus Christ grab a hold of my heart. Something died in me and something come alive that's still alive today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Something died on the inside and something come alive that said, I gotta have more. I gotta have more. I gotta have more. I didn't know everything that I needed to know. I didn't understand everything I needed to understand. But there's one thing for sure. I got a love for him now. I said there was a love in my heart. I wanted to please him. Amen. It didn't matter what I had to go through to get to church. I wanted to walk with him. I not only wanted to walk with him, but I wanted to walk as close as I possibly can. Can you shout amen? There was a desire to please him. There was a desire and a longing. It's just like Esther. Amen. All them other candidates to be the wife of the king, they all did what they wanted to do to impress the king. But Esther got close enough, amen, to the right hand man of the king to find out what is it he likes, what is it he desires. See, when you really get born again and get converted, it ain't about what you think, what you feel anymore. It's about what's pleasing in your sight. What makes you happy. Hallelujah. Brother Havis Crawford said it like this one time. I'll never forget it. He said it like this. He said, "Lord," he said, "I just want to please." He said, as the Lord dealt with him as a pastor and said, "Yeah, we want you to preach this Sunday on a certain subject and deal with some situations in his church." He said, "Now, Lord," he said, "they're not going to like that. The people's not going
to like that. He said, Lord, I can't preach. I'll run them off. They'll leave the church. Some of my biggest tie players will leave me if I preach that. The Lord dealt with him. He went on, pushed it off. Come Sunday night, there he was. God said to him again, you're going to preach what I give you. Amen. He said, Lord, please don't make me preach that. He said, if I do, they'll leave me for sure. I know they will. He said, the Lord said, you'll preach it or I'll not anoint you. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, in that case, here we go. It's just me and you. He said, I preached it. Preached what God gave me. Yeah, they got mad. He said, some of them walked out on me. Lost a family. He said, but on the way to the parsonage, I looked up in the starry sky. Hallelujah. He said, I told you they'd get mad and leave. I told you they wouldn't like it. Brother Haven said, but the sweet voice of the Lord spoke back to him and said, yeah, but I sure did like it. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but when I lay my head down tonight, I want to be able to look up and say, I sure enjoyed that preaching, boy. I sure enjoyed that singing, boy. Oh, my God of heaven, am I pleasing to you? Do I make you happy? Lord, when you look on me, are you just, oh, lift your hands and give him praise. That's God's desire. That's the one thing God wants out of us. It's that love, that adoration. Are you hearing, Pastor, tonight? Your youth group came to hear me up at Pastor Setzer's a couple weeks ago. And I preached this little story I'm just to tell you, or this image I'm just going to show you. Amen. If you begin on you just bear witness. This will be my version, okay? You begin to look at this thing. Amen. When God, with Adam, he created Adam to walk with him. God wanted somebody he could share his heart with. God wanted somebody that he could talk to. Amen. About the universe. You see, God, amen, is busy controlling the entire universe. Amen. So God wanted somebody he could talk. You look at that. You find that. For the Bible said when he walked with Abraham, he visited Abraham. And the Bible said when he started to leave Abraham's house, he said to the angels, he said, shall I keep from him what I'm about to do tomorrow? He said, what do you mean? He said, shall I keep from Abraham what I'm going to do? Gonna bring fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. So God told Abraham. Abraham fell on his knees, wept and cried, said, oh Father, be not angry with me, but if it be thy mercy and grace, would you spare it for 50, to 40, for 30, for 20? And each time God said, I'll spare it. And the Bible said, and Abraham finished praying and got up. Then the Lord left, which tells me if Abraham had stayed there another 2 hours, God would have stayed right there. Oh, it's the will of God and his longing and desire to have a relationship with you. Are you hearing Pastor talk to you? So you see, when God had created Adam and even to walk with him in the cool of the day, all of a sudden Adam and Eve sin. You know the story. And it should have not been God having to come hunt Adam. It should have been Adam hunting God. It should have been Adam running throughout that garden going, where art thou, God? Where art thou, God? Where art thou? It ought not to be God having to hunt you tonight. It ought to be you on your feet in your heart saying, where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Where are you? God looked at Adam. Adam, he see, come down and said, where art thou, Adam? Adam's hidden himself. Bible said he come out from hiding. God said, why you hide? He said, because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? All of a sudden now, Adam's got a knowledge of his nakedness. Amen. Are you hearing me? So the Bible said the judgment of God came upon him. And all of a sudden, I want to preach one day on the day God lost his friend. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Can you watch God as he walks to that garden with Adam and Eve, placing judgment on them, puts them outside the gates of that garden, and says, now, you're not coming here no more. You cannot come back in here. Hallelujah. Put two angels with flaming swords. Said, you why? Because if sin had ever ate of that tree of life, hallelujah, never died. Even they couldn't come in that garden anymore. But I believe in my own version now. God might have said, Adam, I know we can't walk together in the cool of the day anymore like we did, but would you at least come to the gate and talk to me through the gate? Come on, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. And God said, Adam said, yes, Lord, I promise you, I'll not leave. I'll be here just like we've talked every day. The brokenness of Adam. Can you see the power of sin? Hallelujah. As they walk separated now, all of a sudden now, even Adam comes every day to the gate and talks with God. But all of a sudden, a few days ago, God said, now, Adam, you're going to get busy. You're going to get busy tilling the ground. You're going to get busy building houses. You're going to get busy planting crops. You're going to get busy with your life, your children. You're going to forget about me. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, Adam got where a few days he didn't show up. A few days he didn't show up. Then he'd show up, then he didn't. All of a sudden, been a while since Adam came. Here he come to the gate. Father, hey, Father, can I meet with you? Can I talk with you? God comes down to the gate. You know what I'm trying to say. Prayer is what I'm trying to tell you. God comes to that gate called prayer and said, yes, my son. Amen. You all right? Yes, sir. I'm fine. You just come to talk to me today? Adam said, yes, Lord. He said, there's nothing else you need. Nothing else you got to have. You're not here because you need me to do anything for you. Adam says, well, Lord, I am having trouble with my boys. They're not getting along. And then they're fighting. And they're wrestling each other. And so God says, okay, I figured it had to be some reason why you came. Oh, y'all might as well hear me preach tonight. There's got to be some ulterior motive that's brought you to this gate. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You see, it was just God wanting to fellowship with man and that relationship. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And then all of a sudden, through the ages of time, amen, men would come to the point that God just sat on the throne and said, Micah, go check out and see who that is at the gate. Amen. It's just another one of the people wanting something. Just another somebody needing something. Go check it out. And it got where God didn't even come to the gate no more. He just said, Micah, go answer it. Amen. Are you hearing me? But all of a sudden, one day, amen, there's a voice come through that gate. Said, Father, Father, would you come here? I want to talk to you. God sends Micah again. Micah would say, Micah, go see who it is, what they need. It's my own version of it. Are you hearing me? To show you what I'm trying to teach you. Amen. I believe with all my heart. Amen. God said, Micah, go get it. Go see what they want. All of a sudden, a few minutes later, Micah shows back up and said, he won't have me. He wants you. Hallelujah. He wants to talk to you. Amen. He don't need nothing. No. He said, he just wants to meet you, amen, and walk with you a while. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, well, who is that? So God got off the throne, walked down to the gate. Are you hearing me? Called prayer. When it got to the gate called prayer, he said, excuse me, you want me? Young man, yes, sir. My daddy's told me if I built big enough houses, I'd be happy. My grandfather's told me if I had enough children, I'd be happy. My forefathers told me if I made enough money, I'd be happy. But I got houses, I got plenty of children, hallelujah, but I'm not happy. So the only thing I can think of I'm missing is that walk that you to tell me you had with Adam. Hallelujah. What's your name, son? My name's Enoch, and I just come to walk with you. You don't need nothing. You don't need me to heal you. You don't need me to fix your children. You don't need me to do nothing for you. No, sir. I just want to walk with you. Oh, my son of a high. Oh, God said, what did you say? You don't need nothing. All you want to do is walk with me. And he walked with God. You hear, Pastor, tonight. God has walked with you since the day you were born. God has walked with you and kept you out of junk, kept you out of trouble, kept you out of hell. But there comes a time in your life that you must choose to walk with God and say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I will walk with you. My God, lift your hands and give it. Does anybody want to say, Lord, I want to walk with you? Hallelujah. It was a hand of God that kept you out of hell. is the hand of God. Amen. Jordan, if it had been up to the devil, you'd have been in eternity a long time ago. But God walked with Jordan. You know what? All this is happening in your life. It's happening so fast. Hallelujah. You know why? Jordan said, Lord, I thank you for walking with me. But Lord, I can't believe you would love me so much. I want to return that favor. I want to walk with you. Hallelujah. Now you know why God said to Enoch, hey boy, I'm not going to let you die. Just come on in the gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Enoch was not, for God took him. Hallelujah. You, my God, God's looking for a generation that arise up and say, let me walk with you. Let me live as close. My God, somebody give him praise. You see, through time, we have diluted this. We have brought this to God is love. God is love. God is merciful. God is gracious. But the one thing God wants out of you is for you to love him with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. That is the first commandment. Hallelujah. The price has already been paid. The way has already been paid. He's just waiting for you to come and take advantage of what he's already gave you. What he's already placed in your life. You got to understand. I was watching a documentary one time of a man who was so lonely, had a horrible childhood. It broke my heart, Pastor. He was cleaning out, they were helping him clean out his refrigerator. Some people had come to help him, and he had a bad problem, and he had a thing of chocolate pudding. And he said to the people, they tell me when guests come to your house, they love chocolate. He said, so I'd kept this chocolate, but nobody come to see him. He was so lonely. I thought to myself, you here, Pastor, tonight. God's got plenty of people who want something. God's got plenty of people who need something this morning, this evening. But God is looking for a people. Are you hearing me? That are coming to a relationship. Come on, you hear me? It's not about me and you. You bring your miserable life to Jesus so he can fix it. You bring your miserable life to Jesus so he can give you joy. Who's that about? You? Who's that about? Making you happy? I come to tell you, this gospel wouldn't have made you happy. Jesus didn't die so you could be happy. He didn't die so you could just enjoy yourself. He died for you to walk with him. He died for you to fall in love with him. He died for you to have a relationship. And if you neglect that great salvation, how shall ye escape the eternal damnation of eternity? You see, it's that love. But everybody here tonight says, I feel that love. God loves me. The alcoholic says, God loves me. The whole world says, God loves me. Does God love us? Yes. His love is absolutely amazing. There is nothing that can compare to the love of God. For God, so. Everybody shout, so. You can't measure that word, so. It's two little letters, but it's such a big word. Because you can't find the end of so, and you can't find the depthness of so, and you can't find the height of so. God, so His love is immeasurable. Hallelujah. It not only speaks of the quality of His love, but it speaks of the quality of His love. He is immeasurable, past finding out, from eternity to eternity. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Hallelujah. If we with ink, the ocean could feel, and every man on earth a scribe by trade, were every stalk, that means every little tree limb on earth was a quill. Amen. And we dipped it in the ink of the ocean and tried to write the love of God on the sky. Amen. We would drain the ocean dry, and the parchment of the sky could not contain the whole. Oh, love of God, are you hearing me tonight? There is no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loved me before I was born. Hallelujah. He marked me while I was yet in the womb. Hallelujah. When my substance was hid from me. You still with me? How big is God's love? We know it's deeper than the ocean, because He cast our sin into the depths of the sea. We know it's wider than the east is from the west, because He's cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. We know it's higher than the outmost star, because David said, "Have I ascended up into the heavens? Behold, thou art there." God so loved, He's greater than a mother's love. A mother don't give up. Amen. Most mothers that are real mothers never give up. But He said, how can a mother forget her suckling child? The Lord said, yea, she'll forget, but I, the Lord, cannot forget thee, for I've engraved thee in the palms of my hands. There's an old story, an old parable of a boy who fell so in love with a girl. He wanted her so bad. He wanted to marry her so bad, but she was a wicked, evil girl. She said to this boy, the only way I'll marry you is if you go get me the heart of your mother in your hand. I want you to bring me the heart of your mother bleeding in your hand, still bleeding. And the parable says the boy went and killed his own mother and cut her heart out and began to run back through the woods to where his fiance was, to bring her the heart of his mother. And while on the journey, running as hard as he could, he tripped over a stump, and when he did, hit the ground, and the voice out of that heart said, "Baby, is my baby boy all right?" Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? That parable said, even though you cut my heart out and you gave me up for that girl, I still love you. I come to tell you, that's the mother's love. But I come to tell you tonight, it don't matter where you've been, what you've done, and what you've been involved in, and how many times you rejected and said no, God so loved the world. Hallelujah. He loved you even though He knew what you were going to be. He loved you even though He knew what you were going to do. He loved you even though you failed and became what you become. God so loved the world. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Not only does He so love me, but His love is to the uttermost. He said, "For I am able to save to the uttermost." We've been to the moon, but we ain't found the uttermost. We've traveled all the lands that we can, but we still ain't found the uttermost. That means when you get to the uttermost, if you could ever find it, God's love is still there. I'm going to tell you like the old preachers would tell you. They'd get to preaching. Some of them shake their face like that. Amen. As an old preacher come to our camp meeting, he'd preach and go, "Woo!" And he'd shake his mouth, and his cheeks would flop back and forth. He said, "I'm a telling you." He said, "My washboard mommy." Hallelujah. He'd call her "my washboard mommy." He said, "I'd come in, and my old washboard mommy would be in that bedroom going, 'Oh God, don't let my boy go to
hell. Hallelujah. He said, no matter how far I ran, I couldn't hide. One man got away from church, and his mother and his heritage got big money, had two Rolls Royces sitting outside in his office. He sat there. His secretary walked in. He's weeping. She said, what's wrong with you? He said, I've gained the heights that I could go. I'm as high as I can go in this company. Got more money than I could ever dream. Two Rolls Royces out there. But I can't get away from my dear old mama's prayer. Hallelujah. I come to tell you tonight, you can run, but you can't hide. God's love will find you. You hear me on the internet. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've lost. God's love is deeper than your sin, deeper than your addictions. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Oh, the love of God. I was preaching at Brother Collins, Pastor Collins, L.L. Collins. I was preaching on a Sunday night. I was preaching on the power of the blood. And on that message I'm preaching. And if you know Brother Collins, they send out thousands of tapes a month across this nation in this world. I'm preaching the gospel. And on the middle of that preaching, I stopped. I turned around and the Holy Ghost in me spoke out of me, began to preach. I said, somewhere in tape land, hear me right now. I said, God hasn't given up on you. Stop what you're doing. The blood of Jesus can set you free. It was over a year later, year and a half later. I'm preaching meeting, got through with a youth camp in North Carolina. Come back through and got to my father's, Phoenix City, Alabama. I laid down to sleep, got there about 5:35, 45. About 6:15, my dad wakes me up. He said, son, I wouldn't wake you up. I know you're tired. Just been to bed 30 minutes. He said, but there's a man on this other end of this phone. Said, he's weeping and crying. Said, he's been trying to get a hold of you for a month and a half. Hallelujah. I got on that phone. I said, hello. He couldn't talk for crying. He said, you don't know me, preacher. He said, I'm from California. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, I've tried to get your phone number from preachers. They told me to not bother you. You was too busy. And they wouldn't give me your cell phone number. He said, I've been hunting you. He said, finally somebody told me your daddy's number. I said, sir, just so happened, I don't stay here. I live 2 hours from here. I said, but I'm here today. So God had you to call. Don't you ever not call me if you want to call me. I began to talk to him. He's weeping, crying. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. He said, I lost my family because of pornography. He said, I'd throw my computer away. He said, but I still kept and I'd get it back. Think I'd do it better, but I'm still addicted. He said, I lost my wife. I lost my children. Said she gave up hope on me. Don't believe in me no more. Don't think I can do it because I done said I tried too many times. He said she left me about 2 months ago. He said I took all I can take. He said I sat down in my living room a month ago, or my kitchen a month ago, wrote the suicide note. Hallelujah. He said I had the gun on the table, fixing to pull it to my head. By the time I got it up to my head to kill myself, he said, I looked over on the counter and there was a white tape, looked like it was glowing in the darkness. He said, I thought that's unusual, that's something different. So he said, I got up and plugged it in, and when I mashed play, the first words I heard over that tape was, somebody in tape land, hear me right now, stop what you're doing. The blood of Jesus. I'm going to make hell mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care if every demon of hell hears me right now. There ain't a demon big enough. There ain't a power strong enough. There ain't a sin deep enough that cannot be conquered by the blood. The blood. Shout the blood. The blood. The blood.
in Christ's hope, lift your hands and give God glory. Somebody shout, what a great salvation. I was preaching in Florida at a youth camp. And in the middle of my preaching, I jumped up. It was packed out. It seat 450. There's over 500 and something in there. There's kids everywhere. They had a remembrance stand right here. It was so packed in that altar, Pastor Tommy. I was having to crawl up on that remembrance stand to pray for kids and preach. So I'm standing on that remembrance stand laying hands. It's in a bad drug infested area with big chain link fence with barbed wire on top. Only way to get in is if you come into that camp. Drug house across the road. Hallelujah. Power of God fell, a backslid preacher's daughter. She's backslid, come that. She's up front. And all of a sudden, she said, I want Pastor Greg to pray for me. I got out that memory stand, pushed my way through the crowd, began to pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you pray for somebody, you're praying for the salvation, but all of a sudden you feel it when it happens. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know it when it takes place. I mean, you can feel it when the blood falls. I mean, it was that kind of experience. You felt it when the door opened. You felt it when the blood fell. And when it did, the whole house come in an uproar. They didn't know what was going on, but the power of God hit that place. She was set free by the power of God. I jumped up on the altar. And I turned and started singing. It reaches to the highest valley. I mean, highest mountain flows to the lowest valley. I got so lost in the spirit. Amen. I just got wrapped up in my own little world. But all of a sudden, I felt something pulling on me. Looked down. It's a bloodshot-eyed 23-year-old boy. Hallelujah. Who was visiting a drug house across the road. And had slipped in over there and standing in the back. He looked up at me with them bloodshot eyes. I said, hey, pal. He said, preacher, can you give me what you just gave that girl? I said, no, he didn't even know what to call it. He said, but can you give me what you just gave that girl? I said, I can't, but I can take you to the one that can. Bound that altar we went. He come up gloriously saying, I'm telling you tonight, the blood has never lost its power. It never has, and it never will. The sad thing is, the judgment of God is this: you've trampled that blood. You've took that love for granted. You young people, you middle aged, we take the love of God for granted. We think God loves me so much, He'll let me by. I've walked out many times, and I'm still here tonight. You hear me, young man, young lady, mother, father? You hear me? You take that blood for granted, that love for granted. You hear, Pastor Knight, that's what I said. The whole world feels the love of God because it's so powerful. It's so deep. You can murder somebody down the road and come in here and feel the love of God. But just because you feel God's love does not mean God is pleased with your life. Homosexual says, I feel the love of God, so God's accepted of my lifestyle. Not so. I said, not so. God loves the homosexual, but he don't love his sin, and he will never accept it. Ever. Ever. God don't accept sin, whether it be homosexuality. Come on, somebody. Cursing and swearing, stealing, lying. Everybody feels the love of God, but it does not mean God's pleased. Say something to you because you got to hear me. To have a relationship, both parties must love. God said, I was praying, the Lord said, you won't see revival until these three things happen. Number one, you're too content without it. It doesn't make a difference to you if you have one or not. It's not your greatest need. Come on, and the church won't see it because they don't see the need of it. You're too content to live without it. Number two, you won't pay the price. That messed me up. And I said, God, pay the price. You said everything's free with you. You say everything you've done paid the price. What do you, you got to tell me how to tell the people. Because what price are you talking about? He took me to the scripture. He said, for when Adam and Eve, you must leave mother and father. Leave and cleave. The only way you have a relationship is when you leave and cleave. Are you hearing me? So God said to my heart, the whole world feels my love. The whole world feels my side of the love. And they think because I love them, we're in a relationship. But it's not a relationship until they leave and cleave. You ain't shouting like you was over the blood. You ain't shouting like you was over the love. Because you want to know why? That's his side of the spectrum. He's done his part. But now God's looking at the world and saying, if you want to walk with me, you got to leave it all. Hallelujah. Hook, line, sinker. Hell or high water. I'm yours, God. I'm yours, God. I'm yours. You say this. How in the world do you think you wives could go out and sleep with all kind of men and walk in your house? Come on, somebody. With a smell of cologne on you. Come on. That man ain't gonna have it, is he? That woman ain't gonna have you walking in with lipstick. Come on your cheek. And the smell of women perfume on you because you've been out laying with women. She's gonna say, you can't do that and live here. He's gonna say, you can't do that and live here. Then how dare we think we can sleep with that world, wallow in that world, play with our sin, and come in here and think God just gonna accept it. God's love. God's love. You're exactly right. God is love. But don't fool yourself or be fooled by the devil. You can't shack with this world.